Hello everybody, welcome to Combo Breaker, the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Currently you are listening to your host, DJ 1UP, and we're here to bring you an amazing show this week. Thank you so much for listening. I don't know who's listening right now, but thank you so much from wherever you are in the world. Thank you for tuning in. Here we are, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to have a lot of fun this hour. I have a lot of content to share with all of you today. So once again, if you're here, thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends, tell them all to get on radio.dominican.edu. They're not going to want to miss this show. This show, I'm going to definitely have a lot of fun with, because it's going to be about a topic that I've been interested in for years. I don't really have much else to say other than that fact. I've been interested in this video game for so many years, and I've been playing it for so many years. And if you are listening to what my betting music right now and you hear what's playing and you recognize what it is, then you already know what this show is going to be about. Of course, here on Combo Breaker, we do things organized, so I'm going to take you through what I'm going to be talking about today, and then we're going to get on with the show. Just like every other show, I'm going to bring you gaming news as our first segment and get you up to date with some of the releases. Most of the gaming news that I'm going to do is going to be revolved around the game that I'm going to be covering that week. So, in lieu of the game that I'm covering this week, I'm going to announce what game we're going to talk about. After that segment, we're actually going to talk with two of my friends who have also been playing this game for a majority of their life, and we're going to go over what their types of opinions surrounding the game, what types of mechanics, and all of that beautiful stuff. But before we get into that, let me introduce what game I'm going to be talking to you about today. All listeners, drumroll please. And today we are talking about my favorite game, the game that I grew up playing and still play today. It is Pokemon, aka Pocket Monsters. If you don't know what Pokemon is, then you've probably been living under a rock for a while, because they just released this really cool game for the iPhone called Pokemon Go, where they actually change your reality into a world of Pokemon where you can go and catch all the Pokemon that you want. So getting into our first segment, now that you know what I'm going to be talking about this week, if you do recognize the music in the background, it is the soundtrack of the remake of the first two Pokemon games. So this is the soundtrack for Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green. So, getting into Pokemon news, this is going to be super fun. Pokemon news. So, if you didn't already know, Pokemon Sun and Moon is set to release in very, very soon, and this is going to be the 7th generation of Pokemon. And that's a lot of generations, so if you're interested in Pokemon Sun and Moon, that is going to be releasing on November 18th, 2016, so you still have some time. Go to your local game shop to pre-order. There are a lot of pre-order perks that you can get. If you're just a Pokemon fanatic like me, then you'll just be happy with pre-ordering the game. This is going to be a game that you could play on the Nintendo 3DS. There have been Pokemon games for console, but the main series has stayed on handheld, and that's my news for the week. If you do want to pick up Pokemon Sun and Moon, like I said, November 18th, 2016, one thing that I do recommend is in fact, pre-ordering because I talked to some of my local game shops and they said that the pre-order amount is going to be very limited compared to the general release amount. So you're going to want to pre-order it if you want to play day one. And if you love Pokemon and you love catching your little creatures and battling and all of that, then definitely pre-order it because you're going to want to play this game. There are so many cool updates that I've been catching up on. One of the best Pokemon websites that I like to go on is serebii.net. That's www.serebii.net. It gives the lowdown of all Pokemon news that's happening right now, all updates on Pokemon Sun and Moon. So if you are interested in Pokemon Sun and Moon, go ahead and check out that website. Once again, that's www.serebii.net for more Pokemon news. A lot of cool stuff. Just looking at the front page right now, there are four different new Pokemon that have been announced for Pokemon Sun and Moon. So that's really cool. Wow, this one, there's one Pokemon that actually becomes two different forms when it evolves. So I'm saying all of this Pokemon stuff right now as I go over the news. For the listeners that don't play Pokemon or are not well versed in Pokemon, thankfully I'm going to go over a timeline of Pokemon and some of its history and some of the mechanics, so that when I do bring my friends in to talk about some of the cool stuff that we do in Pokemon, then many of you won't be as confused. So let me give you a history of Pokemon, and then we can get into bringing my friends in to talk about our favorite games. So if you missed last week's show of Combo Breaker here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, then you have missed the part where I said Pokemon is one of my favorite games, and to this day I still play the Alpha Sapphire version for the Nintendo 3DS. So that is what I have been working on. I just picked it up over the summer and I spent a good amount of my summer playing that game. I honestly picked it up because of the whole Pokemon Go hype, and when my phone ran out of data, I couldn't play Pokemon Go anywhere I wanted anymore, so I went ahead and just said, okay, I'm gonna pick up Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and just satisfy my craving for Pokemon through that. So, for those that do not know, Pokemon is a franchise that began as a pair of video games for the original Game Boy. It was developed by Game Freak and published by Nintendo. The franchise now spans video games, trading card games, animated television shows and movies, comic books, and toys. Is the second most successful and lucrative video game-based media franchise in the world behind Super Mario. So, Pokemon is one of the greatest games ever, and the numbers prove it. It's second in video game media franchises in being most successful and lucrative, and I think it goes with the whole simplicity of play, and it's just easy. It's so easy to pick up a Pokemon game, get into it, put it down, and because it's on the handhelds, you don't have to stay stuck to it or stuck to the inside of a house or anything like that. When you're playing PlayStation or a Nintendo Wii, you're always stuck in your house playing it. But for these games, you can go out into the environment, you could bring it to the library and play Pokemon, or read a book at the library. That would make more sense. But yes, you could bring your handhelds anywhere you want, and I think that is that's what was most appealing about Pokemon, especially to parents. When I was younger, my mother had gotten me a Game Boy Color along with Pokemon Blue. I also mentioned this in my last show in case you were able to catch it, but I did get Pokemon Blue, and it was one of the funnest games that I've ever played, and that was a long, long time ago. So the game actually came out for America on September 30th, 1998. Wow, so that's 10 days, I can't do the math right now, but in 1998, September 30th, that is when Pokemon came out to the United States and it changed the face of the United States for years to come. To this day, Pokemon games are highly anticipated. Their releases are very hyped up by Game Freak and Nintendo, and many people get super excited. It's crazy to me because I've observed the release of every Pokemon game since Pokemon Blue and Red, which is the original, the one that came out in 1998. And since then, the franchise has grown so much, and every time Pokemon releases a new game, it's like it becomes super popular again. And I think that's what really shocks me about Pokemon, is that there are actually so many people that love it, that love the franchise, love all the characters, and love everything about it. But sometimes they just don't talk about it. I don't know. To me, growing up, a lot of people didn't really talk about whether they liked Pokemon or how much time they spent on video games. But it was kind of what made this game way different from any other game. So in Generation 1 and in Generation 2, these were both generations came out for the Game Boy and the Game Boy Color. Generation 1 was really the introduction of it all. For those who don't know, Pikachu, which is a yellow mouse that can produce electricity, it is the face of the franchise, and it actually in the first generation got its own video game. So usually a trend that you see in Pokemon games is that they're always named after a certain theme. So the first generation had a theme of primary colors: red, blue, green, and eventually yellow. That's where Pikachu got its own game. In the second generation, you had minerals such as gold and silver, and then crystal. In the third generation, you had rare jewels: ruby, sapphire, and emerald. In the fourth, you had more rare jewels: diamond and pearl. In fifth, they went back to colors: black and white, and then they had black 2 and white 2. The sixth, they had actually letters, so they had X, Y, and then there was a Z Pokemon, but there was never a Z game. And for Generation 7, they're doing another theme of sun and moon. And so some concepts about Pokemon that are really important and that we're going to talk about in the upcoming segments is that Pokemon is surrounded by... Well, first, if you pick up the video game, you are thrown into a world where you are the main character and you can catch Pokemon, or you can use those Pokemon to battle. And so I know it sounds a bit gruesome, but for the most part, Game Freak and Nintendo do a good job at making it seem the least violent as it could be. There are some moves that are kind of questionable in terms of what happens when those moves are used, but for the most part, Pokemon can be caught, Pokemon can be used to battle. But in the animated television show, they go over how Pokemon can be lifelong friends to somebody. And I think that is very poetic and very beautiful of Pokemon to say such a thing, because I remember when I was younger, it was just me and the Pokemon and battling them and just using them to battle. I never had the thought of, well, these are actually my companions on a journey that I'm taking. And it's pretty cool because when you look at it from that perspective, you're going on a journey around a fantasy world by yourself. You have these creatures with you. Eventually, you're going to form a bond with these creatures because they're here for you. And so I'm going to continue more of the concepts that I think are important, so that once we talk to my friends about Pokemon and all the logistics and all of that, many of you won't be confused, so we're going to go on a quick little break. Once again, you're tuned in to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. My show is Combo Breaker, the most worthy video game talk show. I'm your host, DJ Live, and we'll be back in just a second. Hello everybody, and we are back here on Combo Breaker. I'm your host, DJ 1UP, and you are listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. If you just tuned in, we are covering here on the Most Worthy Video Game Talk Show. Today we are covering Pokemon, one of my favorite games of all time. And earlier I went over a new release coming out. If you're interested in Pokemon, catch Sun and Moon on November 18th, 2016. Pre-order that because I know they're not going to have any extras for stragglers who didn't pre-order. And I also went over a few concepts about Pokemon, but not too in-depth to where you could have missed anything too special. So, right now I'm talking about some of the concepts of Pokemon. In a couple minutes here, I'm going to bring in two of my closest friends that also play Pokemon, and we're just going to get into a really cool discussion about what we like about the game and its different concepts. So something that is very important to know about Pokemon is that there are different types of Pokemon, and they all have different types and different natures within that type. So say there are grass-type Pokemon, there are fire-type Pokemon, there are poison-type Pokemon, fighting-type, rock-type. There's about 17 types in total. It could be 19 now, just because I know they added a few more types. They recently added the fairy-type in this past not this past generation, but two generations ago, they released the fairy type to balance out the game a little bit more. And earlier I mentioned that Pokemon can be caught. These Pokemon are caught through this mechanism called a Pokeball. So a Pokeball is a capsule that captures sort of the essence of the Pokemon, and it allows it to live comfortably in an environment that, honestly, they've never shown us what is inside a Pokeball, but by speculation, people have said that it's like an island paradise for the Pokemon in there, and no matter how big they are, it's comfortable for them, which I hope, because at the end of the day, I don't want to feel like my friends are just in a capsule hiding there, sad and alone. So Pokemon can be captured through the use of Pokeballs. Just like there are different Pokemon types, there are different types of Pokeballs that have their own capture rate. And it's actually pretty funny because when you catch a Pokemon, the music that's playing right now is the type of music that you hear. Let's take a listen for a bit. Yeah, so this song is, it sounds pretty positive, and it means that you caught a Pokemon. As I also said earlier, Pokemon are able to battle each other, and through battling, you're able to gain experience. In the world of Pokemon, most people have formed a relationship with Pokemon, and they can be called Pokemon trainers. And trainers, just like there are different types of Pokemon, just like there are different types of Pokeballs, there are different types of Pokemon trainers. You have Pokemon trainers who focus on one type. So these trainers have 6 water Pokemon, they have 6 fire Pokemon, 6 poison type Pokemon. I also forgot to mention that Pokemon can come in dual types. So you could have fire fighting, you could have poison fighting, you could have rock ground, that's another big combo. And other than that, the trainers, they also come in different sizes, different types of Pokemon trainers. There are, sometimes Pokemon trainers don't stick to one type, they just capture whatever they like. Most people that I know that play Pokemon, they build their team off of what they like. If they play Pokemon competitively, which yes, that does exist. I know it sounds a bit crazy, but people do play Pokemon competitively. Those people, there's a list of tiers where they can pick a Pokemon from that tier and use that in their team so that they can officially compete. Other than that, the way the game is set up is you are a single player, and the trainer is required to raise a team of Pokemon. In the Pokemon League rules, you can only have 6 Pokemon in your possession at a time. In the game, they give you the ability to catch more than 6 Pokemon, but you can only have 6 Pokemon on your team at the time. The rest, they go into this mechanism called the PC, or the personal computer, where you can store the essence of the Pokemon within that PC, and then you can summon it whenever you need it. But of course, you would have to switch out one of the Pokemon in your team to a Pokemon in the PC. So that's another mechanic that is very important to Pokemon. Another mechanic that is very important to Pokemon is the idea of experience. So Pokemon gain experience and they also level up. The level cap is 100. So once a Pokemon reaches level 100, they can no longer level up anymore. And if you train them right, their stats are going to be maxed out at level 100. Whatever stats you might have trained them to be better at, that those are the stats they're going to have. At level 100, that's when they are the best that they can be. So in order to gain experience, that is where battling comes in. You can battle trainers of different types, and you can battle your friends. You can link to them wirelessly and battle. Back when Pokemon first released, battling a friend was kind of a hassle because you had to get a cable that would link you between you and another Game Boy. And that was just, sometimes you didn't have money to buy the cable. I remember in 1998 when Pokemon came out, I was 3 years old, so I definitely couldn't have bought the cable by myself. And it's hard to explain to a parent that, it's hard to just say, hey mom, like, I need to play Pokemon with my friends, so I need this cable in order for us to play. It sort of just sounds like a marketing scheme in order for them to take more money out of their wallet. But now that Pokemon and technology have all evolved, it's pretty crazy. You can battle people from around the world, people you've never met before, and you can lose quick to people that you've never met before, or you can completely dominate them. So besides experience, leveling up, being able to catch Pokemon, battling Pokemon, one other concept that is very important to Pokemon, and there are actually very many sub-concepts within this concept that I'm going to explain. So one important concept is evolution. When a Pokemon reaches a certain level, or it reaches a certain amount of strength or anything like that, it can turn into another Pokemon. So evolution in Pokemon doesn't work exactly how evolution in science is explained. In Pokemon, when a Pokemon evolves, it actually metamorphosizes. It creates a quick change into another Pokemon. So say I had a Pokemon called Charmander, and it reached level 16. At level 16, it would evolve into another Pokemon called Charmeleon. So that is another important concept of Pokemon. In recent generations, they released new different types, a different type of way to evolve, and it's a temporary evolution called a Mega Evolution, where a Pokemon has a certain item, which is a stone that they hold, that would react to the single player's Mega Ring or Mega Stone, and then it would turn into another more stronger, more powerful creature. So that is, those two concepts are very important to Pokemon. Before we get into our next break, I just want to go over what I talked about real quick. The important concepts of Pokemon are catching Pokemon, training them, using them to battle, gaining experience, evolution, and Mega Evolution. So, in just a few minutes here, we're going to bring in two of my friends that have graciously given their time to talk to me about this wonderful game. They have some questions for me to answer, I have some questions for them to answer, and then we're just going to get into a really cool discussion about some of our favorite Pokemon, which Pokemon we started with when we were younger, all that good stuff. So stay tuned. Once again, you are listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ 1UP with your most worthy video game show, Combo Breaker. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Hello everybody, welcome back to the Most Worthy Video Game Talk Show here on Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Combo Breaker. I'm your host, DJ1UP, and you are listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. If you're just tuning in, our show right now is going over one of my favorite games in the whole wide world, Pokemon. And if you missed the other segments, I just went over when the newest Pokemon game is going to be released, November 18, 2016. You're definitely going to want to pre-order that one. And I also went over some important concepts of Pokemon that will help us lead into our discussion right now. And so I have two special guests on the line with me today. And they're here to help me talk about Pokemon, and we're just going to have a nice little discussion about some of the things that we really like about this game. So I'm going to have you two introduce yourselves. I don't really care who goes first, but go ahead and introduce yourselves. Tell us the first Pokemon, the first time you ever played Pokemon, and what you like about the game.
What's up, guys? My name is Kevin, and I've been a huge Pokemon fan since I think I got into it when I was 8. And that's still pretty late, but I started with the original Game Boy Color, and I had blue version. And that was the first Pokemon game I've ever completed. And back then, I didn't really take it as seriously as I took it now. Obviously, like an 8-year-old wouldn't, but my first Pokemon ever was Squirtle. That was my first starter, and I kind of regret that now. I wish it was Charmander to this day, but yeah. And is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
For sure.
All right. Hey guys, my name's Jacob. My first game was Pokemon Ruby. I started playing maybe when I was about 11 or 12, so I wasn't as early as some people who had the original Game Boy. My favorite Pokemon thing is just that the game is so complex, and it's so much fun. And even after Pokemon just had its 20-year anniversary, I mean, people are still picking up the game and playing it like it's brand new. Even if you go back to, they just released all the original games for the new Nintendo DS, you go back to those games and there's still tons of stuff to do, things you didn't see, Pokemon you didn't catch. I mean, in my time I've played probably 7 or 8 different games, I've never caught them all, and that's the whole slogan to Pokemon. I mean, so it's just a longevity of the game that you just don't see in a lot of franchises. You know, sometimes they just die out. This one seems to have stuck around for quite a while.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have never caught all the Pokemon ever in my life, and it's crazy because they keep adding on to it, so I don't think I'm ever going to reach that goal. So Kev actually mentioned one thing that I was going to ask both of you about. He mentioned that his first starter Pokemon was a Squirtle, and I have to say that was also my first starter Pokemon. I think it's because my first Pokemon game ever also was Pokemon Blue, and so I simply went with the blue Pokemon.
I think that's the logic that
that makes sense. And so I want to ask you, Jacob, what your first starter Pokemon was, since you actually didn't start with the original Game Boys.
Well, since I've been playing, I've always chosen Fire, but my first starter was actually Mudkip. I don't know what it was. It just seemed like it was going to be really good, and I had taken a look at the moveset and saw that it had some pretty good moves that were out of its type as well, so I took a risk, and I knew the first gym was Rock, and I knew Water was going to do me well, so that's what I went with.
Smart, smart. When I got Pokemon Ruby, that was my starter as well, so I know a lot of people that also started with Mudkip. Definitely one of my favorite Pokemon ever. So, Jacob, I hear you have a few questions for us that you had prepared, and we could go over some of those right now.
Right on. So the first one, since the new game's coming out, it's right around the corner. We've seen the starters, and that's about it. They've released maybe a couple other Pokemon, maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5. But as of the starters, which one are you guys leaning towards?
All right, before we get into this discussion, let me clarify on what the starters are. There is a grass-type Pokemon named Rowlet, and that is based on an owl. It's a grass-flying type. There is a fire cat named Litten, and the water starter, this one is called Popplio. So that one looks like a seal. All right. So since you asked the question, Jacob, go ahead and tell us which one of you are going to choose and why.
All right. Well, this might be crazy because I've never, ever gone with a grass Pokemon, but the owl looks pretty cool. I don't know. It seems like you could have a really sweet final evolution, and I'm sure they're going to throw a Mega in there, and it seems cool.
Yeah.
I actually based this answer off of what the final evolutions look like. I don't know if you guys have seen the final evolutions, but they're pretty cool. And I choose Litten because a lot of Pokemon does this thing where majority of the fire starters end up being fire and fighting. And this does look like it ends up being on its hind legs, and it looks like pretty much like a man with a cat head. But I think it's fire and dark, and I think that's a unique attribute for a starter. So yeah, I've never picked a fire starter before. I usually always go with grass or water. So yeah.
So for this next Pokemon, Sun and Moon, I'm definitely going to have to be with Jacob on this one. The owl looks the most appealing to me, and I actually did see the leaked pictures of the final evolutions of the Pokemon. They're pretty cool, and if you didn't know, they're based off of an archer, a wrestler, and a siren, I think. And so definitely, no offense, but my second choice would probably be the water type Pokemon, because the idea of a siren is crazy to me. Kev's giving me a face right now. But it's all good. It's all love in here. So that is our choice for starter Pokemons for the next generation. The next generation's Pokemon are looking pretty crazy so far. They're releasing new forms based on old Pokemon. And like I said, if you want to get into Pokemon, Sun and Moon is going to be a good place to start, even if you've never been a Pokemon fan before. All right, Jacob, what's your next question, buddy?
So the next question I had was this idea of Mega Evolutions really revamped the game, I think, because they just came out with Ruby and Sapphire, which was previously a game, and they kept the game mostly the same, but they added a couple of flares, and one of those flares was Mega Evolutions. And it was cool because even though, you know, the original Pokemon came out like 15 years ago, now they had an additional evolution which people, you know, you just had to have because you never had it before. You know, people would always use Charizard. Now there's a Mega Charizard. Not only is there one, there's two. So it's like, wow, you know, let's go get them. So one of my questions was, I mean, there's probably around 500, 600 Pokemon now. They only released like maybe 30 Megas. There's got to be some in there that you guys think deserve Megas. Let's hear it.
So I'll go first. I think Snorlax should get a Mega Evolution. Snorlax is this huge bipedal round Pokemon that can eat over 1,000 pounds of food a day.
Basically,
and it's literally over 1,000 pounds. It's literally like a huge monster Pokemon that just sleeps all day, and when you wake it up, it wants to kill everything. So I think that Pokemon deserves a Mega Evolution. That's one of my favorite Pokemon. It did have a pre-evolution in the fourth generation with Munchlax, so I definitely can see it having a Mega Evolution. Another Pokemon I want to add to that list is Lapras. I think Lapras has, to this day, I don't know why Lapras hasn't had anything added to its line at all. It's one of the coolest Pokemon. It's a water and ice type based on the Loch Ness Monster. And it was one of the original Pokemon that Ash in the animated show used to just ride across the oceans with. So those are two Pokemon that I think deserve a Mega Evolution. What about you, Kev?
I actually have two answers for this. One of my first answers is actually one of my favorite Pokemon in general and to ever come out of the third generation, and that would be Flygon. Flygon is a ground and dragon type, and I just think it already looks cool enough, so I think a Mega Evolution to that would add to it, because it's already one of my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
Also, not Dragonite, but Dragonair. Because one, if Slowbro can have a Mega Evolution and not Slowking, then that indicates that even a mid-evolution Pokemon can Mega Evolve. And I think Dragonair would be pretty cool, honestly. And plus, if a Dragonite had a Mega Stone, I don't know what they would call the stone.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. So that's interesting. Dragonair is actually a second in the line of evolution, and that's something we haven't seen before. Except you're right, Slowbro did get its own mega evolution. What about you, Jacob? What kinds of Pokemon do you think should get a...
Well, I totally agree. Lapras. Didn't even think about it just because it's been such a staple in Generation 1. It's such a cool Pokemon already that never thought about it, but that would be awesome. And Dragonair as well. And I hadn't realized that they given second generation evolutions or second evolutions megas until you just brought it up just now. What I would like to see is two of my favorite Pokemon based off Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan. I think that would be sweet, especially since, again, they're still standing. I mean, they only have that one evolution.
Do you think Hitmontop deserves one as well?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, since he is part of that, you know, they're special. They have that triplet evolution. It just depends on which one you get. So I guess that would be...
You know,
appropriate.
You know, another set of Pokemon that I think would be pretty cool to have a Mega Evolution would be the Eeveelutions. Wouldn't it be crazy to see the... So Eevee is a Pokemon that can evolve into, I think it's
seven
different types of Pokemon. Different types of Pokemon. It can evolve into a fire type, a water type, an electric type, a dark type, a psychic type, a grass type, an ice type, and a fairy type. So if you're listening and you count it on your fingers, you know how many types it can evolve to. And it would be crazy to me if each of those types had their own mega evolution, and I think that would change the game for sure. All right, and we have another question from our friend Jacob here.
Let's see. So a thing that I came across just going through the internet, you know, you see a lot of Pokemon stuff, especially with Pokemon Go coming out. A lot of debate over the first Pokemon. Which one was it, you know? And there's a lot of different answers. I've heard more than two or three answers. What do you guys think? Have you looked this up at all?
I'm going to say Rhydon, just because it was the first Pokemon ever drawn and, like, created. Not, I guess, in the game, in terms of the game... The way it depends on how you look at it, it could be either Mew or Bulbasaur or Arceus, either of those three. But my answer is Rhydon.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Rhydon as well. It was the first Pokemon drawn ever, and I guess after drawing that, the rest of them came to mind. So I think Rhydon was a good foundational point for Pokemon to start at. I can see how people think the first Pokemon ever was Mew, because Mew in its own Pokedex is considered the ancestor of all Pokemon. And Arceus as well is pretty much the god of all Pokemon. So it's definitely up in the air. There has been proof that Rhydon was the first drawn, and so that's what I'm going to go with as well. What do you think, Jacob?
Yeah, right on. I think the first one created is the first one drawn up. Because, I mean, you know, in the universe, the Pokemon universe, they have all those other stuff. But in my mind, the one that was really created the first time was right on, without a doubt.
Yeah. And did you guys ever have a Rhydon on your team?
I did. I made it a point to get one. And it was hard, too, because Rhyhorn took a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Rhyhorn was... It evolves at level 42, I think. Sometimes in the game you'll catch them at level 20, and getting those to level 42 is not it's grind time for sure. Alright, so we're going to get into another quick break right now. Once again, you're listening to the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host DJ 1UP, and Combo Breaker will be back in just a few minutes. Hello, everybody. We are back here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. If you are just tuning in, I am your host, DJ1UP, with the Most Worthy Video Game Talk Show. You can catch me here every 7 p.m. to 8 every Tuesday on at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And this is my show, Combo Breaker, where we talk about video games. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Pokemon right now. I've got two of some of my closest friends here. I've got Kev.
What up?
And I got Jacob.
How's it going?
They're both with me right now talking about Pokemon. And so we're just going to get straight into the Pokemon talk because we only have a couple more minutes left on the show. So we got into a few questions about Pokemon. And one thing that I want to know right now is if you could pick a team of any six Pokemon, which would you choose?
Because like the thing is, I still play Pokemon Omega Ruby or X like to this day, and literally just refining my team. Like that's all I really do, just battle people, rebattle people, and then refine my team. So I would say right now, my team would consist of Charizard, Sceptile, Greninja, Jolteon, Scizor, and Dragonite. Those would be my six.
Nice, nice. You got some type
variety,
some extra
there.
Type variety, yeah, there. So that like should be that should be pretty good on coverage. Do you usually battle online, or do you just do in game or anything like that?
I battle online only if it's with people I know, like friends, and we set up like times to battle. I don't really go off just you know, battling random people like that.
I see.
Yeah.
Cool. What about you, Jacob?
Those are admirable picks. That's one of the coolest things about Pokemon is the combinations are really endless, especially with these new generations. I don't know, there's two sides to me. One side is all fire Pokemon, just because I always thought they were the coolest. But the side that makes a little more sense for battling and typing wise, here's what I'd go with. So first off, you always need a strong water Pokemon. I feel like Frolligator is the one that takes it for me. And I hope they give him a Mega in this new game, because they didn't give the second generation Megas.
Before you go on, I've never heard anyone pick Frolligator starter Pokemon. That's pretty cool.
Alright, so I go with him. Houndoom I think is really cool, and that'd be my fire, just also because he's dark and he's got a really sick Mega. It'd be a toss-up between Dragonite and Garchomp for that dragon spot, just because Dragonite's classic, but Garchomp was probably one of my favorite newest Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Magnectric is really cool. He's the electric Pokemon that came out in Generation 3, again, he's also got a Magnet, and he's super quick, so you always get that first one off. Vileplume might surprise you, but I like Vileplume because not only is it a really strong grass Pokemon that can get Solar Beam and Giga Drain and all those good grass moves, but it also... off the bat, when you get an Oddish, which is the first evolution, the starter one, it comes with really useful moves like Stun Spore, Poison Powder, Sleep Powder, things that don't do a lot of damage when you're fighting, but have long-term effects in the game that just sneak up on you, I feel like. If you've ever played Pokemon, being poisoned is like the worst thing that could happen to you.
Oh my God, it totally is.
Or when you're paralyzed and it just seems, you know, even though it's like a toss-up whether you get to attack or not, you always, you know, three times in a row you be paralyzed, and it's like you want to like crush the game in your hands because you're so frustrated. And the last pick, only because I've never gotten one because you had to trade to get this specific one, is a Gengar.
Really?
Gengar is one of the coolest, I feel like.
Classic.
And I've never gotten one.
You've never had a Gengar?
You know, the
and
only
we,
time...
we live together and you've never had a Gengar.
It's a shame, I know. That'd be my last pick.
I feel it. All right, I guess I have to go over mine now. So, I would choose Snorlax to be on my team. That's just one of my favorites of all time. Slowbro is also one of my favorites of all time. I would want to keep a Slowbro on my team. Water Psychic to me is a pretty OP, pretty overpowered typing combo. Then I would go, this might surprise you, but I would want a Venusaur on my team.
What?
It's for the same reasons that you want a Vileplume, because it can do all of those crazy things that a Vileplume can do.
I still have yet to hear that.
Yeah.
It does have a Mega.
So Venusaur is, I think, a really cool Pokemon. And the next three, I would have an Umbreon. Do you know the whole Wish and Baton Pass combo? So you use Wish, which is a move that heals you to three-fourths of your health in two turns. So when you use Wish, you can use Baton Pass and then heal another Pokemon on your team.
Oh, wow.
So it's really cool. That's why I've always loved Umbreon since second generation. It's funny because in the second generation, I would always try to go for an Espeon because I thought it was cooler because it was a psychic type. But because I never understood the timing or anything like that, I always just ended up with an Umbreon, so I never really complained.
Let me interrupt you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two of your moves already if you have an Umbreon. Mm-hmm. What are the other two? I mean, it's dark. What does it have? Like Crunch?
Toxic and Faint Attack.
Faint Attack.
So...
See, to me, that's not very heavy hitting, but it does have those clutch moves that can do long-term damage and long-term use.
I feel it. I mean, for me, when I make a Pokemon team, it's kind of got to come together. Rather than just being able to attack, it's got to be able to be balanced and have everything as part of it. So I said Snorlax, Slowbro,
Venusaur,
and
Umbreon.
Garchomp is going to have to be one as well. I recently actually didn't like Garchomp when it first came out, but I mentioned this earlier. I just picked up Alpha Sapphire over the summer. And I was on the global trade system, which is really cool. The global trade system, you can literally trade with anyone around the world. I picked up a Gible and I was like, okay, I'm gonna train this guy. And I used him in the Battle Frontier of Alpha Sapphire, and it's just been crazy. It's been awesome. Another one that I would choose.
Last spot.
This is my last spot. Man, I'd probably have to go with a fire Pokemon for this one. I'd probably bring in Blaziken.
Blaziken
is...
Yes.
Actually, I'm going to change that. I'd bring in Infernape over Blaziken.
What?
No. It's crazy. Listen, they're going to bring a Mega Evolution for Infernape pretty soon, and it's going to be sicker than Blaziken's Mega Evolution. But for now, obviously, Blaziken is the firefighting Pokemon of choice. It does go.
Without the Mega Evolution.
Exactly.
Though.
Exactly. But...
Yeah, I mean, I've had to play Ruby like 6 times now, and... Other than that first Mudkip, I picked Torchic every single time just for Blaziken.
Sky Uppercut is a crazy move.
Yeah, and you got Heat Wave in and all those other ones you can teach him.
Crazy. Blaziken was also the first fire fighting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was the original fire fighting starter. And hopefully that does end this year because it is kind of repetitive with all fire fighting Pokemon starters. So for these last 4 minutes, we're going to go over... There are, like I said, 17 types, and we're going to name every type, and three of us are going to name our favorite Pokemon of that type. So we're going to start with the biggest and broadest normal types. Whoever wants to go first.
I would say my favorite normal type would be between Pyroar. If you don't know who Pyroar is, it is in the latest generation of Kalos, or... Pidgeot.
Mm. So Pidgeot's flying and normal, right?
Flying and normal.
So you can pick dual types, and either way, it should work out.
I'd have to say mine's between definitely Pidgeot and Snorlax. Snorlax is just a tank.
Yeah, my favorite normal Pokemon is Snorlax. There's no question of that. It has huge health and huge attack. Imagine getting body slammed by a Snorlax.
We also gotta maybe throw this under Eevee. I mean,
what
can you not do with an Eevee?
True. But no one ever keeps an Eevee.
No one ever keeps Eevee as is.
Alright, so next type we're going to move on to is fighting type.
Blaziken is my favorite fighting type.
I always like him on Chan because you can get the Ice Punch, Fire Punch, and Lightning Punch.
True. I feel it. Surprisingly, Breloom is one of my favorite fighting types. It's got that quickness, and it also has that ability to do Stun
that
Spore.
Mach Punch.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think... Back when I picked up Generation 3, I was like, oh, Breloom's so cool.
Oh, good looking.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one is flying type.
Favorite flying type would have to be... Noivern.
Ooh.
Probably Noivern. Between Noivern and Braviary.
Nice.
Yep.
Those are two good ones. And they're recent too. Yep. Noivern is really cool. I'd have to probably back that up. Say Noivern is doesn't get much cooler than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my favorite flying type is actually Skarmory.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's also a Pokemon that I think deserves a Mega Evolution.
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally.
Skarmory should get a Mega Evolution.
He totally deserves one.
All right, so next is Poison.
Poison, Gengar.
Nidoking.
Oh, I'm going to have to go with Nidoking on that one,
Nidoking
too.
I'm going to say Nidoking, actually. Sorry, Gengar. I'm going to say Nidoking.
Nidoking. I remember picking up... I remember which route it was exactly, but going to that route and just like searching for a Nidoking or a Nidoran male so that I could get a Nidoking. And then I remember wasting my Moonstone on a Clefairy. So I couldn't get a Nidoking. I was pretty sad.
I wonder why it's a Moonstone.
All right. And ground types.
Ground type. I would have to say Swampert. Swampert's my favorite ground type.
I'd have to go with Aggron. Okay. And his Mega is OP. His defense goes through the roof.
I feel it. Let's see. I'd have to go with... that's a big one. There's so many ground types.
Torterra.
I'd probably go with... honestly, Torterra is a pretty good ground type, so I'd probably go with that just off the top of my head. That was actually my first starter of the fourth generation.
Same.
So I chose Turtwig because I thought it was really cool. All right, and we have time for just one more here. How about one of you throw out a type and we could just pick our favorite and then end the show on that?
All right, for sure.
Just not fire. It's too hard of a choice.
Let's go Dragon.
All right.
Oh, it's another hard choice.
Let's see. I think my favorite Dragon would have to be Garchomp for sure. Just because I love Garchomp so much.
I would say my favorite, I don't know if this is a cheap shot, but my favorite dragon type is Mega Charizard X. It is fire and dragon.
That works.
Yeah.
That's true. Just to change things up, I mean, I'm a huge fan of all those, but one that doesn't get mentioned enough just because dragon's so crowded is Salamence.
Salamence. And they just had his Mega Evolution too.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Salamence is definitely underrated. Yeah. Not a lot of people want to pick it up. All right, well, thank you so much. That is our time. We had two special guests on here. Thank you both for being here and helping me out with this show. Once again, if you want to tune in next week, DJ 1UP is going to be here with Combo Breaker, the most worthy video game talk show, every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And don't forget to catch all the other shows here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Have a great night, everyone.